You're listening to a podcast by the United Nations Research Institute for Social Development.
Our next paper is a joint paper by three collaborators, of whom Isabel Hillenkamp will make the presentation on solidarity economy as part of popular security enhancing practices. Over to you.
Thank you very much. Yes, thank you. This presentation is a cross analysis from the point of view of solidarity economy of a book called Securing Livelihoods, Informal Practices and Institutions, edited by Frédéric Lapeyre, who is in the audience, Andrea Lemaitre and myself, and forthcoming at Oxford University Press. The book is a collection of 13 case studies whose references can be found in the paper. They provide new empirical data and analysis on the logic and socio-economic practices of actors operating in the popular economy in different contexts, especially in Africa and Latin America. One main argument of the book is that solidarity economy should be understood as part of popular economy. This concept, popular economy, has been coined by Latin American scholars in order to overcome the formal-informal dualism. One of them is José Luis Corrado, and he has elaborated in much more detail the conceptual framework of popular economy in the morning. So let me just say that we consider popular economy as being a wide range of activities outside the public and private capitalist sectors, whether individual or family-based, income-generating activities, micro-enterprises, and other types of organization. We consider that these activities share three main features. First, they are based on the use of local resources and labor. Second, as developed by José Luis Corrado, they are aimed at the reproduction of life prior to the reproduction of capital. And third, they are aimed at securing livelihoods in context of vulnerability prior to expanding activity or accumulating capital. So we consider that solidarity economy is part of multiple popular strategies to enhance the security of livelihood, some of them being located at the intersection with the public and private capitalist sector. Solidarity refers basically not to generosity or any kind of good feelings, but to the acceptance of interdependence within the members of a group, be it a family, a community, or some kind of professional organization, etc. We see solidarity as an important means of securing livelihoods, yet not all forms of solidarity are part of solidarity economy. Solidarity economy also entails a normative criteria of emancipation and democratizing the economy, while protection may be based on hierarchy and domination. The principles of economic integration introduced by Karl Polanyi help us distinguishing between different forms of interdependence. Market, reciprocity, redistribution, and householding have been identified by Polanyi as the four basic principles of economic integration, by which he means the way an economy acquires unity and stability. And these principles have been widely used to analyzing the plurality of resources and form of exchange in solidarity economy. Yet here, we argue that these principles are not just forms of exchange. Reciprocity in particular is not equivalent to the motion gift and counter-gift, a point that has been developed elsewhere by Jean-Michel Servet. We consider that the principles include all spheres of activities that make up the economy in a substantive sense, circulation, but also production, financing, and consumption by which people ensure their livelihoods. So the principle represents ideal modalities of interdependence in these different spheres. They are first interdependence resulting mechanically from price fluctuations and competition in the case of the market. Then interdependence based on centralized systems in the case of redistribution. Thirdly, instituted reciprocity based on complementarity, for example, to a symmetric pattern in the case of reciprocity. And lastly, interdependence within a group through sharing, for instance, a domestic group in the case of householding. So the principles of economic integration generate different institutional structures which can be combined in multiple configurations. They form a conceptual framework that takes into account the diversity of logic of action as present in particular in popular and solidarity economy. The book, Securing Livelihoods, provides many examples for reciprocity, redistribution, and householding as principles underlying popular security-enhancing practices. For instance, in the book, Lemaitre's study of popular cooperatives in Southeast Brazil identifies so-called politically driven cooperatives as a category of organizations relying significantly on resources stemming from reciprocity, for example, through voluntary work. These resources play a key role in enabling the people, the disadvantaged workers in these cooperatives, to become self-reliant and to set up so-called proximity public spheres. Similarly, my research in Bolivia shows that associations of producers are able to reduce vulnerability stemming from a disadvantageous position on the market by creating complementary skills that enable them to position collectively on the markets. Another example, described by Gonzalo Vasquez, study of the cooperative Union Solidaria de Trabajadores, a recovered company operating in the field of waste management in Buenos Aires, shows that reciprocity is crucial both among the workers in the organization of work and decision-making and between the workers and the community in order to protect the workers from external threat and to meet the community needs through local development projects. Yet, redistribution is also found in these practices. For example, in the politically driven popular cooperatives of Southeast Brazil, resources stemming from redistribution represent a very significant 44% of total resources. They entail public redistribution stemming from compulsory contributions collected by public institutions, whether the Brazilian government, local government, or international cooperation agencies, as well as voluntary redistribution based on resources collected from international civil society and channeled to local NGOs. A similar point is made by Maite Lopolin and Mardi Sens in a case study of South Kivu in the Democratic Republic of Congo, which shows, among others, how rotating saving and credit associations, so-called ROSCAs, are supported by local NGOs who redistribute funding stemming from voluntary contributions in northern civil society. Finally, householding is found in a wide range of activities at the household and community level. For example, in kite saving in rural Morocco, studied by Solène Morvan and her team, in Rosario, Argentina, studied by Adrien Sayag, or again in South Kivu, are a way to secure saving at the family level and protect their members from unexpected expenses and shocks. Another form of householding occurs, for example, through sharing know-how and resources to develop petty market activities at the level of the household, as I could observe in Bolivia. Lastly, householding may be applied to the administration of the resources of productive organization, as demonstrated by Vasquez's analysis of the UST cooperative in Buenos Aires. According to our analysis, solidarity economy is part of these practices, but it does not include all of them. Solidarity economy is driven by the need to enhance the security of livelihoods, but it also entails a normative criteria of democratizing the economy. In short, solidarity economy is protection-driven, but directed towards emancipation. So many solidarity economy practices rely firstly on a new application of the principle of reciprocity in the context of democratic self-management, as for instance in popular cooperatives in Brazil or Buenos Aires, in producer self-managed groups in Bolivia or in Roscas and South Kivu. But reciprocity in general does not lead to emancipation since it relies to different degrees on obligation embedded in social norms. An important question, therefore, is whether reciprocity is based on voluntary engagement or not. In their South Kivu study, Lopola and Nissens rightly distinguish between semi-voluntary reciprocity embedded in kinship and community relations and voluntary reciprocity, for example, in Roscas, which is considered by participants as a stronger, easier, and faster solidarity and has a stronger potential, a stronger emancipatory potential. Solidarity economy may also rely on redistribution. Redistribution provides essential resources to cope with different risks by directing large flows of resources toward vulnerable populations. It may be democratically controlled, especially public redistribution, but it may also take the form of vertical relation which reproduces existing hierarchies as illustrated by the top-down relations between most popular organizations and the NGOs supporting them. Solidarity economy, lastly, may rely on householding, but the way in which the needs of the different members of the groups are defined and the resources are divided must be checked carefully. Is it driven by equity? Does it foster emancipation for all members of the group? In the city of El Alto, near La Paz in Bolivia, I found that gender roles among rural migrant families tend to become more differentiated and more hierarchical. In some cases, petty market activities based on sharing resources at the household level are driven by domination and even exploitation according to sex and age rather than fairness and support. So this analysis of solidarity economy as part of popular security enhancing practices has important policy implications. It helps us deepening our understanding of local adaptive capacities and identifying the existing and missing connection to multi-scalar public policies, by which we mean public policies aiming at strengthening adaptive capacities and development dynamics at the micro, meso, and macro levels. For example, Le Maître shows that popular cooperatives in Brazil enable the workers to develop a voice, first in the domain of work, through which they gain access to public life, and then to the public sphere in general. This opens a possibility for them to produce and control their own history. But Le Maître adds that the concurrent pursuit of multiple objectives is not easy, and responding to economic, social, political, and environmental needs involve tensions. This is why some authors stress that the sustainability of such organization relies on the broader conditions of their institutionalization and on the political recognition of the socio-economic pluralism. As a conclusion, solidarity economy as part of popular security enhancing practices can provide complementary passes to developments that bring together in a coherent manner the concern of economic sustainability, social inclusion, democratization, ecological balance, and gender equality. But there are limits to autonomous adaptations, and we cannot assume that popular economy actors left to their own devices will be able to manage multi-form and multi-level stressors and respond to acute crises. The most effective adaptations are multi-scalar, which requires innovative policy intervention by the state to take action beyond the local level and to provide local actors that means the means and skills to respond to vulnerabilities. In short, the capacity of households to cope with vulnerabilities depends on the adaptive capacity of their community, which itself depends on the institutional and policy frameworks at the regional and national levels. Thank you.
Ciao. check out our other podcasts available free on the iTunes Store. For more information, go to our website, www.unrhys.org. Thank you for listening.